Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
We're back with our discussion with my guest, Andrea McHugh, and we're talking about how parents can actually help their children take care of the dogs. And today is January 23rd, and our phone lines are open. And if you would like to join our conversation or ask a question, you can call 888-463-6748 or 888-GO-FOR-IT. And also, we are looking at photographs of some of the animals. They kind of are a visual accompaniment to the radio show. And just press the purple Look While You Listen button at TalkZone, and you can get to our photographs. Andrea, young children often treat cute dogs as if they are toys. You kind of mentioned that earlier. What can we do to help them learn to respect them as the animals that they are and not toys?
Well, that's an excellent question. It is something that it is difficult for them to comprehend because, you know, they are used to sort of, particularly very small children, they are used to sort of picking up toys and carrying them under their arm and you know, dropping them down again when they see something else that's more interesting. And so, and doing that with a puppy or a dog, you know, can be quite distressing for the dog. And with a slightly older dog, it can also, you know, they might be encouraged to nip or scratch or something, struggling to get away. So it is important to teach children to be gentle and to sort of have that sense of this being a living creature, and that they must be not rough with the puppy. With very small children, I think it is a good idea, children under the age of six, to actually sit them down next to the puppy, or on your knee next to you on the sofa or something, and then just take the child's hand and actually guide their hand to teach them how to stroke and hold the animal. And you know, the golden rule I always say, you know, is gently does it. So you know, and teach your child to sort of understand how much sort of pressure they should put on them when they are sort of stroking them, and that it should be no more and no less than that. And also to sort of, as I mentioned before, to understand how the dog will be feeling if you're treating it like a toy. So there should be no physical sort of violence towards the child. There should be zero tolerance towards any children that throw a temper tantrum or anything like that around the child. There needs to be a little bit of time out as soon as you see that. It's vital. It is really, really vital whenever a child is around a dog, particularly small children, that they are supervised all the time, really, particularly a new dog that comes into the house, puppy. There needs to be a lot of supervision so that you can see what's going on, and you're there as the responsible adult to teach them, you know, what is acceptable and what isn't, and they will, children will follow very much how you are handling the dog and how you are treating the dog and how you're speaking to the dog. So watch your own body language and watch how you are handling it and picking the dog up. Teach from example. It's not rocket science. We really do need to sort of teach by example. If things get out of hand, just end the game or end the interaction with the dog for a few minutes and just take the child aside and explain to them, you know, what's happening and why you've done that, because it's a very important point, a very important lesson to learn.
And sometimes I know the dogs, like the children, don't always behave perfectly. What are some of the most common behavior problems that, you know, you've experienced with dogs? And then when that's happening, you know, what can you suggest the child and a parent do to deal with, you know, those behavior problems?
Yeah, well, the dogs behaving badly, it's really, all families are different. We've all got different rules. You know, some people will not have a problem with the dog jumping onto the furniture. Other families will have that. You know, it's your house, it's your family, it's your rules. But the puppy and the dog, or the dog, will not know what those rules are when it comes to your house. You're going to have to teach it. So I think it's important to remember that the dog is not doing something to deliberately provoke you or to make you mad. They're just behaving in the way that they feel is natural. So it's important to guide them. But some of the more common problems would probably be because due to, you know, dogs being pack animals and they will try to occasionally assert their dominance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this, it can be quite cute in smaller dogs or puppies, but it's not so cute when they get big and they're sort of trying to hog the sofa or, you know, guard their food or, you know, not allow somebody else to sit on a particular chair or something like that. You know, that kind of behavior is, if left untreated, it can become ingrained and it can be very difficult to sort out. And you need the intervention of a professional pet behavior counselor or even your vet to sort that out for you. House training problems are a very, very common issue. With a puppy, it's just a matter of, you know, not losing your temper. You have to accept that there will be the odd accident. That hopefully when your puppy comes to you, he will be house trained, or he will have some experience. But it is a matter of teaching him to go outside, taking him outside every few minutes when he wakes up, particularly after he's had a little sleep or after he's had some food. You know, taking them outside, get your child to get into that routine of taking them outside so that they learn where's the proper place to go, giving lots and lots of praise when they go in the right place, rewarding positive behavior and trying to ignore as best you can, you know, behavior that doesn't fit in with your family rules, you know, so that the dog learns to be a happy family member. But you have to realize that he doesn't know what the family's expectations are of him. It's very important that he has guidelines. One of the children that I spoke to would said to me that, you know, if a dog is naughty, I think you should smack him on the nose,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, should be avoided at all costs because the dog will just lose confidence in people and he may react, you know, through fear in an aggressive or a defensive way. So physical chastisement should be avoided at all costs. So there are much more distraction techniques and are much more effective, and training, you know, and if necessary, seeking the advice of your veterinary surgeon or a professional behaviour counsellor to help you deal with the problems that can arise from time to time.
I remember reading the books from years and years ago, and this field has changed dramatically because I remember, you know, take the newspaper and, you know, smack the dog. And so I'm very glad that the trend has changed. Also, you mentioned a trend that many trainers are referring to about the issue of dominance. And, you know, dogs are hardwired to, you know, be in the pack, as you talked about, and how the family members from, you know, every member down to the youngest child become perceived as a pack leader by the dogs. Mm. I think that's great that that's being spoken about, and you mentioned that in your book also.
Yeah, it is very, very important. You know, the dog must realize that he is at the bottom of the pack when it comes to the family, you know, particularly the children as well. He needs to be respectful of them and respect them as and know his place, which makes, you know, life much easier for the dog, because dogs that are trying to be head of house actually lead very stressful lives. It's quite stressful for them, and they develop lots of behavior problems. They're much happier knowing their place in the family and knowing, you know, what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. But as I say, that can all be achieved without any physical chastisement and should be encouraged.
Going back to my reference to the Obamas, and that Michelle Obama had said on one of her interviews that she does want the children to take responsibility for caring for the dogs, besides the advice in this book, would you advise them having some dog trainer come in and work with the dog alongside them?
Well, for them, it might be advisable, because I think, you know, it just logistically, it might be quite difficult for them to to get along to a regular training class. But yeah, I would certainly advise taking the advice and involving a trainer. It depends on their experience. I don't know whether they've had dogs before, you know, whether either Michelle or Obama have had dogs before, so, you know, I'm not sure what their experience is. But certainly, getting a dog trainer in can just be so valuable and really just help to put people on the right track. It can just give them lots of things to practice. The children will enjoy it. And as a family, and then they will have lots of things to sort of aim for, little goals to set, we're going to try and teach this week, learn this week, and, you know, have a sort of aim in sight, whether you're going to put a little agility course in the garden and eventually have, you know, be able to sort of, you know, get the dog to go around there with you. Training should be fun. And it really should be fun. Dog ownership should be fun.
Yes,
and I'm sure they will enjoy it. And dogs are a great stress reliever. They really are. You know, in a household, a busy household, and you don't get much busier than that. They will just be a break when a dog, from all of the pressures of the day. When a dog comes up and sits next to you, and you're stroking the dog and focusing your attention on that dog. Just for a moment or two, the cares of the day go, and that can just re-energize you and emotionally do you so much good. And then there is the physical the positives of actually walking the dog and all of the advantages that does. It's a real stress buster to go out and walk a dog and just have fun, throw a ball, and just, chill out together. There's nothing, better than that to help you your stress levels come down than to have a dog and play with the dog. So it's going to be great.
And I know there's so much development in brain, research about this, that, the why behind, the reasons why we feel good. But what's really important is just that we do. In the last minute or so, where can people find out more information, Andrea, about caring for your dogs, of course, apart from reading your book?
I think your local veterinary surgeon is a definite place to go. Have a look on the internet. Read some good. There are some excellent dog magazines. I mean, I write quite regularly for a magazine called Your Dog. I think it's available in the States, but there are lots of really good dog magazines full of training tips and advice. Talk to as many dog owners as you can, encourage your children to as well. This research period should really be a family affair. It shouldn't just be one or two members of the family. Everybody needs to be involved in this to find out the information so that everybody's really committed to the dog ownership. The Kennel Club has a lot of information on their website, and they can also send leaflets out and provide lots of information. They also tend to do fantastic training days and summer camps, and it's just brilliant. It's really good. And then, of course, listen to the Wild About Pets radio show. There's lots of information on there.
Oh, that was lovely how you did that. Well, it sounds, to summarize to me, it sounds like you're offering a way for the parents not to wind up doing everything, which I think is what the fear and sometimes the reality is. But the key is that, yes, they do have to start and lay down that foundation, do the training, the teaching, the supervising, so that the children can then carry on and do it right. And that way, at least the parents will be involved, but they won't be doing it all themselves.
Yeah, that's correct. I think as well, to avoid that tendency of thinking, I'm in a rush in the morning, it's quicker for me to do it. Make that bit of time so that it might take your child a little bit longer to feed the dog than it would take you, or to fill the water bowls. But, make that time, because it may be quicker for you to do it, but your child won't learn that valuable lesson of being responsible for another living animal and all of the benefits that come with that, and the bonding that they will experience with the dog. So, yeah, don't be tempted to do it all yourself, even though you can do it quicker.
Oh, that's a great close, Andrea. My guest today has been Andrea McHugh, author of Your Child's Dog, How to Help Your Kids Care for Their Pets. You can visit her website because I have the direct link and also the link to the book that she has written. Both how to order the book for the UK and for the US are down at the bottom of the page. Andrea, it has been a real pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Susan. I've really enjoyed it. The hour has flown by.
Yes, it has.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Remember, everyone, all my shows are archived, so you can listen to any of the episodes and see all the matching photos on my website anytime you'd like. That's wildaboutpets.net. Thank you so much for listening.
Hello, yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're still there. I just wanted to say a final good